This morning, we celebrate Father's Day. But as we did last week with Children's Sunday, and as we did a couple weeks ago with Mother's Day, I want you to remember that God's Word is for all of us, not just the fathers, not just the men. God's Word is for all of us. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to just give a little bit of context. These verses 5 through 12 are tucked neatly in the middle of Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. And they're some of Paul's most tender words of Scripture. They're admonishing and challenging us, but in the most kind of ways, most gentle of ways. In the context of this passage, Paul is defending himself. That someone has come into the church and said, Paul is not as good as the other leaders. He doesn't do what everyone else does. He is barely holding it together. And as I think of those verses, I think of the way that some of our families are. That some of our churches are. That we're just holding it together, whether it's at home or here, we're just barely holding it together. But Paul, one of the great evangelists, one of the great apostles, one of the great leaders of God's people, was being accused of all sorts of things. And instead of defending himself, he speaks words of kindness to challenge those who are hearing. We want to look at how God instructs the church in how to act as leaders, and in particular today, to act as fathers. We have an epidemic in our world today that we have as many biological fathers as we always did. The science and biology has not changed. But we don't have a lot of fathers in homes. I was reminded of that this morning when I got a classroom update from Joshua's teacher, who said, you know, I want to wish a happy Father's Day to the 220 fathers, grandfathers, uncles, brothers that are represented in our class. And when Joshua goes to school, some of the male role models are fathers, some are grandfathers, some are uncles, some are foster fathers, some are brothers, some are, it runs the gamut. And we need people who will step up, male and female. Before we look at God's word, I want to remind you, as I said, that these are words for all believers. For males and females, for married and single people, for parents and not parents. Whether you're a father today or not, we're all leaders or potential leaders in some aspect of our lives. And we're all expected to lead well. And so Paul begins with verse 5. It's in the middle of this paragraph. But if you were to look at the original language, there's a break here. And Paul begins his argument, not so much the charges against him, but his defense and how we ought to act. And the first thing is that good leaders are focused on others. And it begins with verse 5. You know, we never use flattery. Nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. Nor were we looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Good leaders, good fathers, don't act selfishly. They're not proud, expecting flattery, expecting falsehood. They're not motivated by greed. And they're not overbearing. Paul says here, we could have been a burden to you. We could have put all our weight on you as apostles. We could have expected to be served, but that's not how we acted. Instead, we were gentle among you. They didn't act selfishly, they acted and served with gentleness, focusing on their quote-unquote children. They toiled and suffered hardship day and night. They were determined not to be a burden. They were gentle like a nursing mother cares for a newborn. We recognized that we could have crushed you. We recognize that we could have just snuffed you out. And instead of satisfying our own desire for a name or a possession or a power, we were gentle. We were childlike. We were innocent among you, like a nursing mother with her own children. But not only that, he continues on and says that we shared with you all that we have. We loved you so much that we were delighted. This is verse 8. Loved you so much. You were so beloved by us that it delighted us to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Our souls as well, because you had become dear to us. They shared all that they had. They shared the gospel, their spiritual identity. And they shared their lives, their souls, their relational identity. And that's what fathers do. That's what good leaders do. And I'm not casting aspersions on any other leadership style, but I encourage each and every one of us to adopt a godly, biblical leadership style where we not only share our authority, we share our task, but we share our lives. That we think not only of ourselves and what we have to gain and what we have to achieve and what name we can make for ourselves, but we're making names for others. Paul begins here as saying, I didn't do this for flattery. I didn't do this with the authority that I have, but I did this because I have called you my own. I have called you beloved. You've become dear to us. You have become my family. And so I treat you like a father treats his children, it says in verse 10 and 11. Godly leaders, including fathers, exemplify selflessness. Not just when they're home, but when they are at work. I realize it's summer is 3 days from now. But one of the examples that I think about in how fathers are selfless, if you've ever seen the movie Elf, toward the end of the movie, this bigwig in publishing, the father of the elf and this other half-brother of Buddy the Elf. The half-brother, who's 12, 13, 14, comes into his dad's office and says, Buddy's missing. And the chief publisher says, if you leave, you're fired. And says, you know, get out of here, boy. And the boss begins to feel like a father. Says, don't talk to my boy like that. And he says, if you leave, you're fired. And he leaves. And at some point or another, he decides family is more important than this job. My leadership is more important that I lead this boy than I lead this publishing company. This leading the church, or leading in business, or leading in the community, takes a back seat to leading in the home. Not that you can't do both, you ought to do both. But we need to prioritize. And part of that is being selfless. Instead of making a name for ourselves, we lift up the name of those around us. Good leaders have a faithful presence as well. You are witnesses, verse 10. And so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. It's not just enough to say, I'm going to focus on others. But what are you going to focus on? What are you going to represent as you focus on others? I can focus on my children and be a tyrant. I can focus on my children and be distant. I can focus on my children and be a taskmaster. But that's not a good leader. Good leaders have a faithful presence. They are holy, set apart for God's purposes and use. They're committed to God's will. God has set me apart. In every role that I fill, God has set me apart to do His will, to do His bidding, to further His kingdom. They are righteous, he says. They willfully desire to do what is right and are committed to God's word. You can't do what's right unless you know what's right. You can't follow the law unless you know what the law is. You can't follow the law consistently. Maybe once in a while you get the law. But if you are committed to doing what's right, then you know what the law is. For example, the speed limit in Massachusetts or Boston, if it's not posted, the speed limit is 25 miles an hour in the city of Boston. Now, if you didn't know that, and you got stopped by the police, you would be wrong if you were going 30 or 35 or 40 down Ashmont Street. Speed limit's 25. If you're committed to doing what's right, you know what God desires. You know what society desires, and you seek to do it. You're committed to God's word. And blameless. Blameless means without accusation or fault. Not sinless. There's a big difference between sinless and blameless. Blameless means that you have reconciled your wrongdoing, and no one can bring a charge against you because you've already brought that charge. You've already accepted the charge. Sinless means there's nothing anyone can ever say about me because I never do anything wrong. Blameless simply says, I know I do wrong, and when I do, I don't need someone else to tell me. And that means that they're committed to God's work of salvation. Now, these three characteristics describe godly integrity, describe godly inner strength. And that's the kind of presence that our leaders and our fathers ought to have. That we are purposed by God, that we are committed to His word, and that we are washed in His blood. If you watch PBS News Hour, then you know the name of New York Times columnist David Brooks. David Brooks, probably 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2015 or so, came to faith. And he came to faith in the midst of writing a book called The Road to Character. And the way he came to faith is this. He writes this in his acknowledgement. He mentions a young research assistant named Ann Snyder, who was fresh out of journalism school, trying to make a name for herself, trying to break into a career in journalism, a evangelical Christian. And Anne's vibrant faith, her God-given brilliance, her uncompromising work ethic, her extensive reading list, influenced Brooks in a profound and relevant way. Her faithful presence made a difference. By practicing good faith, by practicing holiness, righteousness, and blamelessness, Anne made Christianity a little more relevant to just one person. But that one person was a world-renowned best-selling author and regular contributor to the New York Times, who now hundreds of thousands of people read. We never know what influence we're going to make, but our faithful presence in positions of authority, especially as fathers or father figures, can have a profound difference, maybe just in one life. I have 4 children. I don't know who my 4 children are going to influence. I don't know who those influence are going to influence. My prayer is, because I often think of this. You probably got a postcard in the mail, or will get a postcard in the mail. We're going to celebrate that I've been the pastor here for 20 years, and I could say, you know, and sometimes I think this, what difference have I made in 20 years? The good answer and the bad answer is, I have no idea. I probably won't know until I get to heaven. But my job is not to count my victories. My task is to be a faithful presence, to be holy and righteous and blameless as much as I can be, so that those who I rub shoulders with will see my faithfulness and will be attracted to the one in whom I trust. Godly leaders, including fathers, exemplify faithfulness. And then lastly, godly leaders foster spiritual growth. Verses 11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. And what does Paul mean by that? That they are encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. These are very powerful words. Encouraging, comforting, urging. Encouraging is the word parakaleo. We get the transliterated word paraclete, which is the description of the Holy Spirit. Parakaleo literally means to be called alongside. Para, like parallel lines, and kaleo, which means to call. To call alongside. That's what fathers do. They're called alongside their children. That's what leaders are. They're called alongside. You don't lead in a pyramid. You lead alongside one another. And the NIV translates that as encouraging. But it could also be counseling. Could also be guiding. Could also be advising. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, but He's also the counselor. He's also the encourager. God's anointed leaders, and especially dads, to walk alongside their children. From the very beginning, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Impress these upon your children as you walk along. That's a different word because it's in Hebrew, but it's the same principle. That as we are walking alongside, we are to encourage and teach and counsel and direct. It's an active aspect of mentoring, guiding, showing, progressing. And you can't do that 1 hour a week. You can't do that 20 minutes at a time. It's the sort of thing that leadership and fatherhood, parenting, raising children, being and assisting parents in raising, it's something that we do as a lifestyle. The second word, which the NIV translates as comforting, I think. Let me see if I can find it. Comforting. Paramuthiome. Paramuthiome. Again, para meaning alongside. Muthio is to counsel. And it's synonymous with the other word, to come alongside, to counsel, to advise. It's the verbal aspect of mentoring, to teach, to advise, to watch. These are two activities that go together. That we are called alongside to comfort and to uplift and to strengthen. It harkens back to verse 8. That we enter into their lives. We share with you our lives as well. We teach and we encourage and we comfort in their context. We come alongside them. They don't come alongside us. So as we lead, as we father, as we parent, we don't simply say, hey, listen to my music, listen to my stories, listen to my wisdom. We engage in their lives and become familiar with their desires. And engage in their favorite things. And then the third word, which here is urging, is literally martyrome. We get the word martyr, which means to be a witness. So we come alongside, we counsel alongside, and we serve as a witness. We serve as exhibit A of the life that God calls us to live. And so let me ask, no matter what your role is in leadership, in parenting, in fatherhood, are you a model of godliness or worldliness? As we urge people by our lifestyle, are we urging them to engage with the world or are we encouraging them to engage with God? Are we expressing godly truth or human wisdom? Are we an example and a witness of the ways of the world or the truths of God? In the way we speak, in the way we act, our goal is that they would also live lives worthy of God. Live life in a manner that is worthy of all that God has blessed us with. That we're making footprints that others will want to walk in. By our urging, by our prodding, by our pleading, that they live godly lives. Godly leaders, including godly fathers, exemplify transference. In other words, we have been given this treasure. And our responsibility is to give it all away before we die. There used to be a bumper sticker. I don't know if people still care. He who has the most toys when he dies wins. But that's not true. Because what God is calling us to do is to give it all away. If we could just give away all the knowledge that we have about God, if we could give away all the advice we have received from God, if we could just give it all away, transfer it before we die, like a financial arrangement. Okay, I know that my time is short, so I'm going to transfer the house. I'm going to transfer these assets. I'm going to transfer. That's fiscal responsibility. We don't want the state to get it. We don't want no one to get it. So I'm going to transfer it before I go. The same is true with the spiritual economy. All these things that I have come to know, I want to give to the next generation. We were talking this morning in our summer Christian Ed about Moses and Joshua. And Moses does just that. Everything I have, I now give to you. Now you go and lead the people. And that's what we're called to do as well. Our sermon, in a sentence, is this: godly leaders, including fathers, are equipped by God to equip others. This morning, as we celebrate Father's Day, we first must honor our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in His selflessness in giving His Son for our salvation, perfect in His faithfulness in keeping every promise, and perfect in His calling, commissioning, and equipping us to further His kingdom. We honor our Heavenly Father because He is perfect in all of His ways to us. He is perfect in all of His ways. All these things that we are called to do, God is perfect. He's perfect. Perfectly selfless, perfectly faithful, and perfectly equipping. And then we also honor those who have been called among us. And we honor the fathers who are here, who have been called, commissioned, and equipped to serve as our Heavenly Fathers. Not an easy job. We have to be selfless. We have to be faithful. And we have to be equipping. And then finally, we commit ourselves to these words of Scripture so that the next generation, the present generation, the millennials and younger, have a godly and biblical example of selflessness, of faithfulness, of transference, so that the gospel of God will be furthered long after we pass. We can all do our part, because in one way or another, we are all leaders. godly leaders, including fathers, are equipped by God to equip others. Now, we gave out flowers, we gave out roses on Mother's Day. Fathers, I'm not going to get flowers. Why? Because I didn't want to get myself a flower. Not that I don't like flowers. But what we have here is something much better. We have smart food because you guys are so smart. And lifesavers because sometimes you call to be lifesavers. Alright. So Joshua walked by a thing. Joshua is going to be in the back, and he's going to make sure that all the men here get one or both. It's up to you. I don't know how many men there are here. But after the service, if you would like smart food or lifesavers, see Joshua. And please do, because Joshua is under the impression, I think, that anything that no one else takes, he is going to get to keep and eat. So there you go.